Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, and that required for him to pass between the border of his own country of Galilee into Samaria to the south. And he was in these borderlands where he came to a village. And in that village, there were 10 lepers that met him there. And although they kept distance from Jesus, they called out to him in a loud voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." So they went. And as they were going, they were healed and made clean. One of them, when he saw that he was clean, came back to Jesus, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he was praising God, thanking Jesus in a loud voice. And Jesus said, "Were not 10 made clean? Yet only one has returned, this foreigner, a Samaritan." He said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." We have started a series here in March based on my travels of the previous month of February. The items on the altar were picked up along the road. The water bottle, the water jug, the black jug was picked up in the desert of Arizona from a migrant who used it filled with water at one time and discarded. The other is a rock from the beach, a rocky beach in the eastern Massachusetts at Gloucester, north of Boston. They symbolize, the water bottle symbolizes our yearning for spiritual nourishment along the journey. The rock represents where we're going to, a stable place, place of love and hope and security. Jesus had a trip to the borderlands of his country of Galilee, to the rival country to the south of Samaria. We well know that regular Jews, normal Jews, did not like Samaritans very much. My trip was to the borderlands of our country that borders the rival country to the south, Mexico. And yeah, I do say that we are rivals, because if you listen to some of the rhetoric out there, that is the case. Especially since we are working to build a complete wall between us and them. This is what the borderlands looks like in Arizona, southern Arizona, a vast, out of the way, very dry place with dirt roads and backcountry. It's beautiful. The cactuses that you wouldn't normally think are a beautiful plant are wondrously beautiful and diverse. It's treacherous as well. Extreme temperatures, especially in the summer, where temperatures can get into the hundreds, and at night, actually very cold. It's here where migrants traverse these jagged canyons, and when it rains on the occasion, and the rare occasion that it does, it floods, making it more so. And migrants travel at night. So I can imagine traveling the wilderness of this country at night. This Tucson, Sonora, and Sonora is the state in Mexico that borders Arizona. This Tucson-Sonora corridor, as it's called, has been one of the most frequented area of the country for migrants coming into our country from Latin America on foot. Here in the borderlands, I volunteered for a group called the Green Valley Samaritans, an organization of over 300 volunteers whose founding purpose was to prevent as many deaths as possible by those who are crossing the desert. They lay out water bottles. They search for those who might be out there in need of assistance. They feed and clothe clothe those who have been recently deported on the Mexican side, and they advocate for the humane treatment of those on this side who have been captured by the Border Patrol. Humanitarian aid is not illegal. It never is, even to some Samaritans, as we learn in our gospel today. Since the year 2000, over 3,000 human remains have been found in the desert of southern Arizona. Every red dot that you see on that map. And there were a lot of these posted up here and there. 3,000 on our side of the border, and that's just what we know. That's not counting who might have passed on the other side, in the Mexican side. I read an article about a medical examiner whose personal mission that she has taken up, her cross, that she has willingly taken up, is to try and identify as many remains as she can find of those people. I visited a place in Tucson where there are these unidentified remains buried in unlabeled graves, actually just a drawer in a marble slab at the county graveside. It was humbling. I prayed over them. I grieved their unknown stories. In these borderlands of our country, I crossed over into Nogales, Mexico, to a place called La Comadora, or simply called the Commodore, as people called it among the volunteers. And it means just the gathering. It's a very small place, as you can see, but twice a day, every day, 7 days a week, they cram it full of 60-plus people, newly deported, literally right off the white buses, sometimes dropped off right outside. They have nothing more than what they walked into the door with. So they are fed a hot meal. They receive some clothing of what has been donated. Shoes are big. It's a big deal. They receive some medical treatment for cuts and bruises and sore feet and are given personal care items. They're also allowed to make a phone call to family with special phones that work on both sides of the border to let them know that they are okay and alive and safe. It was here at the Commodore where I met a gang member. He had tattoos all over his body, and I was intimidated when I saw him. Yet, over and over again, he thanked me like that Samaritan leper thanked Jesus. Thank you, as I helped him find a pair of pants that might actually fit him. I met a family of four, two beautiful girls who smiled up at me as they asked for some more juice, please. And their mother was in tears from some trauma that I could only imagine. And I met Saul. I like Saul. Saul was a big, boisterous guy, big beard. He spoke as good as English as I did. He had been in Utah for 12 years before he had been deported, working in farms in Utah. He knew where Ohio was. He was asking me questions. How are you today? He smiled and joked with people, despite his life being turned upside down. I'm glad I met Saul that day. And I told him that I was glad I met him as I shook his hand and wished him well. I wonder if that's what Jesus felt. This is painted on the wall of the Commodore. Jesus, a Last Supper depiction, Jesus with Latin American migrants. I wonder if that's what Jesus felt in his journey to the borderlands. That he was grateful to have met them, to get close to people, to change them somehow without even being able to touch them. I wonder if he was changed just a little bit. It says in our scripture that Jesus saw them. And I like to think that Jesus really saw them. Not just kind of noticed them out of the corner of his eye. This group of men standing aside, screaming at him. Been so easy just to ignore that. Keep on going into the village to get a good night's rest. But it uses that word, saw. Maybe he saw them in a way that they have never been seen before. Leopards would have grown used to being scorned and spat upon. They lived outside of the community, not able to work, not able to live with their families, subjected to a life of poverty and isolation. But Jesus changed all of that for them. What Jesus did was more than just take away their disease. He made it possible for them to rejoin society. No more barriers, no more restrictions to their living arrangement. They were truly free. Jesus wants to do the same for all of us. Remove the barriers. Remove the barriers in our heart. Remove the barriers that keep us from each other. Jesus didn't have any filters in his seeing. Jesus sees migrants, really sees them. To him, through him, there is no barriers between people. Jew, Samaritan, men, women, Hispanics, immigrants, documented, undocumented, Asian, African, rich, poor, gay, straight. Jesus truly sees us, young, old, disabled, athletic. He sees no reason why we can't live together in harmony and in peace. God wishes to remove the barriers that we have around ourselves, these little bubbles that we talk about in the last year since the election happened, that we all live in our little worlds, our own little bubbles. When I first got to Massachusetts, I didn't expect it. I'd have a significant encounter with God. And I remarked to my spiritual director that I described as God as being sort of just around the bend, walking in the woods, just beyond my sight, beyond my reach, kind of behind a thin veil, maybe, I described God. Yet, as I discovered as the days went on, that represented an avenue of investigation for me, an avenue to discover. Because it was an invitation to follow Jesus around the bend, to travel with Jesus and see the world as God sees it. And now that was a significant encounter with God. We are the ones that build walls. They are artificial walls. When God looks at the world, there are no borders. Can we dare to see the world the same way as God does? No barriers. Free. This is the wall that exists in Nogales, Mexico. You can see through it to the other side. It's big slabs of steel. You can't walk through it, but you can see and you could hear the other side. The other side where people are supposed to be so different, speak a different language, everything. Yet, both sides have a street, and it's called the very same thing in both cities. International Avenue. For 3 years running now, there's a festival there, and there's crosses on each side of the border wall, crosses that represent that we pray to the same God. Maybe in a different language, but God is our God. So each of the last 3 years, there's a festival that happens in the spring, and there's a parade that happens on each side. And so you can see each other, you can hear each other. You walk together down the streets on both sides of this wall, and then at the end, there's a big music festival, a big concert. And I imagine this to be a very joyous occasion. I'd like to see this someday. Despite the fact that there is a wall that separates us, walls can't separate our hearts. Just like it says in Romans 8, that love cannot be separated from us, that we cannot be separated from the love of God, excuse me. The only thing that can separate us from ourselves is ourselves and these walls that we create. But Jesus has already lifted barriers. like he did that day for the lepers who were living outside, separated out of sight, out of mind. Imagine peace and justice in the borderlands, this wall mural says. Painted in a small town called Arriavaca, Arizona. Imagine peace and justice, written in two languages. This is what God wants in all lands in the world. And it can only happen with God's help. It can only happen with Jesus leading the way for us. When I asked the founders of the Green Valley Samaritans, Randy and Shura, what it was that we can do to help here in Ohio, wherever we're from, and their answer wasn't what I expected it to be. I expected them to say something like send money, send clothing, send shoes. No, they said to connect to immigrant communities here in our area. Pay it forward, in a sense. But to begin to connect to them, I think it starts with actually seeing and recognizing that they exist. In nearby Willard, Ohio, Hispanic farm workers have been there for almost a generation. Here in Galleon, we have immigrant families managing and running local businesses, hotels, restaurants, to be specific. Do we know their stories? Do we see them as Jesus might see them? Walls are everywhere. There is a wall between young and old in this town. Students want to walk out of their classrooms to demand that they are be heard. Many of us older folks trying to tell them that we know what's best for you. We have divides between one side of the tracks in this town and the other. I have a friend who's that when they go to the shop on one side of the town, they see 10 people they know, maybe. Shop on the other side of town, they see nobody. Walls here in this small town. It's mostly along the lines of the have and have-nots. Did you know that in the last 10 years, the poverty rate in our county has almost doubled? In 10 years. I don't think we really have seen that because of our walls and bubbles, or that we understand that fully. We've done a lot. But do we really see people in poverty? Do we notice them? We're behind the curve as a community, as a church, as Christians, I think. And we're supposed to be the ones who see like God sees. I learned from a wise woman in Massachusetts, one of the spiritual directors there, in that she said that the more we care for the least of these in society, the more that we flourish, both as individuals and as a community, as groups of people. The less we do, the less we care about the least of these, the more our society diminishes and begins to fall apart. And I thought about this, I reflected on this, as we are encouraged to do so there, because we have plenty of time to do so. And I thought about how we spend so much time in life consolidating ourselves, building up ourselves. And if we recall in January, we talked about the two halves of lives, right? In the first half of life, we're concerned about ourselves, building up of ourselves, our family, becoming stable, becoming productive in society. But many of us never fully get to that second half where we can look back and reflect, and we can begin to as well look out, pay it back, pay it forward, lift others, build others up. I think that we have spent too much time in ourselves. If we really look around, we are suffering because we do not fully see those who are in the path of poverty. The ignorance of understanding of our fellow human beings will be the downfall of our society. And in a way, we are already suffering for that. drug addiction, broken families, children going to school with clothes full of bedbugs and hungry. Walls are not the answer. Walls impede our ability to see. And our ability to see is a requirement for being a disciple of Christ. Let us pray this week and this month that we might truly see so that we can show mercy as Jesus did that day when he saw those lepers calling out to him, to those who are out of sight and out of mind. Help us see that, God, because if we do not see, we can't show mercy. Let us learn this better as we travel this road with Jesus leading the way.